Where do you stand before a holy God? It's an interesting question, right? It's a question that all of us need to ask ourselves. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, begins in verse 21, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom He will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." I can. You know, I may have to, if this doesn't continue. Went too far? No. Okay. "For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son also to have life in Himself. And He has given Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man." "Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own, but the will of Him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true." The King is coming. There are many who say, well, the signs indicate that it will be very soon. But we don't know when He's coming. But we do know that everyone will stand before judgment one day soon. Those who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation, and believed in Jesus are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 tells us, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory." The promise is eternal life for all believers. This judgment will be for rewards because salvation is already guaranteed. Jesus Christ guaranteed that on that cross. The judgment will be for rewards. But those who have heard and do not believe will also be judged because their names are not written in the book of life. I want to share a story that I saw on Facebook this week with you. Rhonda Brown, the pastor of Larry Brown at Drummond Church, shared Joel Van Hogan's post. There's an older gentleman lying in a hospital bed, very ill with his daughter. She says, "What did you say, Dad?" And he barely whispers, "I'm happy." "Why?" she asked him. Quietly, slowly, he answered, "'Cause my name is written in the book of life." I thought, what a wonderful testimony in one sentence, because my name is written in the book of life. come to Jesus and live. I mean, first off, what does it mean to come to Jesus? It means knowing who Jesus is. It means agreeing that what the Bible says about Jesus is true. What coming to Jesus is not. It's not about just repeating a sinner's prayer. It's not about walking down the aisle of a church. And I'll tell you, I have come to believe that the mark of a great church is not how many people come, but how many people live differently as a result of having been there. True heart change. It's not about the decision card that you might fill out and drop into the tray. Let me tell you what coming to Jesus is. Coming to Jesus is repenting of your sins and turning the other way, 180 degrees toward God. Coming to Jesus is confessing your sins. You know, I think I'm going to not fight with this because it makes me lose what I want to say. So you guys can shut that off if you'd like. Coming to Jesus is believing with your heart that Jesus is your personal Savior. Coming to Jesus is not just believing with your head and knowing who He is. Coming to Jesus is relying on and fully trusting, leaning upon and resting in Jesus Christ, the one who paid the price for your sin, the one who took the nails you deserved. Coming to Jesus is believing that He is your Savior first and then allowing the Holy Spirit to help you make Him your Lord too. Coming to Jesus is believing that there's no other way to the Father in heaven except through Jesus Christ alone. If you believe the Bible, you can believe this. Jesus was with God before the earth existed. He left His glory with the Father and was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect sinless life and then died on Calvary for your redemption. And He was raised again after 3 days. In Italy, during the time of the Renaissance, marble sculptors struggled with finding quality marble, especially for a reasonable price. Some sculptors would buy cheaper marble, cheaper grades, and then they would fill in the pits and the cracks and the flaws with wax, giving the illusion that it was a higher quality marble and unflawed. The good sculptors would post a sign in their windows that said, "Cinesira, without wax." They felt that integrity and pride were keynotes of their work, and they refused to degrade the quality. They only used the finest marble. Cinesira, without wax, was used to signify the flawless materials in their honest pieces of work. Because of sin, every one of us is flawed. We are destined to pay the penalty for that sin. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, eternal spiritual death. But because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who paid our sin debt, we have hope. Today He's in heaven, and His sacrifice has provided a way for us to come to a saving faith. See, understand that being saved is fully a work of God. Not one of us is saved by works. Nothing we do, okay? Our best efforts are like filthy rags. No one is saved by works. No one is saved by their own efforts. It is by grace alone, in faith alone, by Jesus Christ alone. It's a gift of God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, that no one may boast." You see, if you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're separated from God by sin. You're the reason that Jesus went to that cross. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son for you. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus was the spotless Lamb, the spotless Son of God. He knew no sin. But God made him to be sin for us. Sin was the reason Jesus came to earth. He died on that cross, went to hell, and rose again from the dead for one reason: to pay the price for sin, that we who believe might be saved, if we believe. Once that price was paid, Jesus triumphed over Satan. And that sin problem was taken care of once for all. Now, if you believe that, God doesn't hold your sin against you. The only thing that keeps you from becoming a child of God is failure to turn from your present world and make Jesus the Lord over your life. When Jesus paid the sin price for you, he was your substitute. Heaven has it recorded, you've been set free. It's as if you yourself died on that cross 2,000 years ago, but it doesn't mean you're automatically going to go to heaven. Even though God sent Jesus to pay the price for your sin, even though he holds nothing against you, you can still go straight to hell. You could go to hell because you have not made the choice to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, to accept his sacrifice as yours. He will be your father. You will be his child. And you know something? That's not just some theological idea. That's truth. That's truth that you can stand on, that you can count on. See, Jesus actually walked the earth as a man. He actually went to the cross. He died there and was raised from the dead, and he's alive today, seated at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. When you become a Christian, you're born again. You take on the nature of Christ. You take on the nature of your heavenly Father. The nature of sin and Satan is death, but the nature of God, of Jesus, is life. Jesus spoke to the people of his day and said, "Ye are of your father the devil," in John 8:44. You see, to accept Jesus as your Savior and your Lord causes you to turn your back on the devil, to turn your back on the god of this world, as Satan is called. You take on a new father, a heavenly father. You're born again, not physically, but spiritually. Your spirit then is reborn in the likeness of God. You see, you're a threefold being. You're a spirit, you have a soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and you live in a body. Jesus referred to this in a conversation with Nicodemus in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." Nicodemus answered, "What do you mean? Do I have to go back into my mother's womb?" And Jesus answered, "No. What is born of the flesh is flesh, but what is born of the Spirit is spirit." Being born again is spiritual rebirth. You're born of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who was sent into the earth to carry out this new birth. When you make Jesus Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you and causes your own spirit to be recreated. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17, when you accept Jesus as your Lord, you become a new creature or a new creation. Old things pass away and all things become new. As far as God is concerned, at that very moment, you stand before Him as a brand new person. You are reborn from sin and death to righteousness and a new life. And that is a fact. I want you to realize what happens the moment a person makes Jesus Christ Lord of their life. In the eyes of God, he becomes a world overcomer. Sin no longer reigns over his life. Sin no longer is his Lord. Jesus becomes his Lord, and he can live above the satanic and evil forces of this world. See, after Jesus was raised from the dead, he stood before his disciples and said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Then he delegated that power to his people. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." What's the gospel? Well, it's pretty simple. It's the good news that God no longer is holding your sins and trespasses against you. The Bible gives some pretty specific instructions that we're supposed to follow in order to become a Christian. In order to become a Christian or be born again, we have to go to Romans 10, 8 through 11, where it says, "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith that we proclaim. "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." Jesus said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." John 6:37. No matter what kind of sinner you are, no matter what you've done, you can go to Jesus and he'll accept you. And once you go to him, he will cause you to be born again. He will recreate you, and that sin which has been plaguing you will become a thing of the past. It will be gone, and you will be accepted before God as if you had never sinned. You know, God's word is the only evidence you have that you're saved. But I want to tell you something. It's all the evidence you need. After you become saved, Satan comes in and attacks you. And sometimes days, weeks, months after that very moment, you begin to wonder, was I ever really saved to start with? Why do I continue to fall? Why do I continue to sin? You'll have doubts. Satan's going to see to that. He's going to attack you unmercifully to try to create that doubt in your heart. But God said it, and it's true. I used to have a bumper sticker that I was going to put on our car, and then Joy wouldn't let me. And maybe it's because of the way I drive. I don't know. Anyway, it said, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." Well, I want to tell you something. If God said it, it doesn't matter if I believe it. It still settles it. And if you're doing 60, in a 45, you shouldn't have a bumper sticker on your car. Okay. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. The moment you make Jesus the Lord of your life will be the moment you have a desire to live, and you overcome the desire to die. I mean, I can testify to that fact in my own life. Before I accepted Jesus as Lord, I guarantee you I was headed right straight for hell. Everything I liked to do was bad. The habits I had formed for 45 years were destructive, not only to my body, but to my mind and my spirit. When I made the Jesus the Lord of my life, those desires were changed. I had the desire to get rid of sinful habits. Did it happen overnight? Absolutely not. But gradually, 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 things started to change. I started to find out who Jesus was, who God was, what God expected of me, how to live like He expected me to live. Those changes brought major changes in my mind, body, soul, and spirit. And I want to tell you right now, those changes are available to you. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, don't put it off. Nothing guarantees you to, in fact, you're not guaranteed this afternoon. And I hope this didn't happen to anybody, but you could leave this church and get hit on the highway and it's over. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. There's a wonderful song that Damaris Carbaugh sings about tomorrow. And she pleads with people to accept Jesus as their Savior, to have salvation. And the answer comes, oh, I will, but tomorrow. But what if tomorrow doesn't come? Don't put it off. I beg you, I plead with you, don't put it off. In Acts 16, 30 and 31, they asked Jesus, What must I do to be saved? The apostles replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. There may be someone here today that has not accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. So I would like everyone to join me. And we're going to have a prayer of salvation, but I want to tell you what I said earlier about just praying a sinner's prayer won't save you unless it's prayed from a sincere heart, from a desire, from a desire to be changed, that you do believe who Jesus was, who He said He was. But I want you to make an effort to speak these words from the core of your very being. So everybody would join me in this prayer. Dear Father, I now believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son. That He came down to our earth in the flesh and died on the cross to take away all of my sins and the sins of this world. I believe that Jesus Christ then rose from the dead on the third day to give us eternal life. Lord Jesus, I confess to you all of the wrong and sinful things that I've ever done in my life. I ask you to please forgive me and wash away my sins by the blood that you personally shed for me on the cross. I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. And I ask that you come into my life and live with me for all of eternity. And I believe that if I sincerely ask, you are faithful to save me and to recreate my spirit as a born-again child of God. Colossians 1, 11 through 14 says, "May you be strengthened with all power according to the glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." You see, if you prayed that prayer and in your heart you honestly felt that, you have just inherited the kingdom of God. And you don't have to wait until you have died to collect that inheritance. You can start right now at this very moment. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God. We have been delivered from darkness into the kingdom of God." So where do you stand? Where do you stand before a holy God? Is your heart right? Is Jesus your Lord and Savior, Lord of your life? You know, we have to live in this world, but we don't have to be a part of this world. We need to keep our eyes focused on that cross. We need to keep our eyes focused on the kingdom of God. We're sojourners here. Life is temporary. It's fleeting. As Gary so aptly sang in the song today, we are a moment, we are a vapor. In the scheme of all eternities, this life is a flicker. So where do you want to spend eternity? I'll make a bad Montana joke. Do you want to spend it in smoking or non-smoking? I'm absolutely sure there is no one here that wants to spend eternity separated from a holy God, that wants to spend eternity in darkness, that wants to spend eternity in pain and suffering in the place called hell. So if you prayed that prayer, I encourage you now to find a good church. I'm biased. I could tell you the name of one. Have a good church family. Learn who God is. This is a God of love. Learn what he expects. Gary has a special closing song they'd like to bring you, and then we'll close the service.
No, as I shared with Chuck, he sent me the outline or notes of his message this morning, and it just automatically, the Lord laid on my heart this song that I heard so long ago. But it was important to me then. It was a song by Dallas Hall, simply song, "Come On to Jesus." Okay, so we'd like to sing that for you. We're going to deviate a little bit from our normal closing thing, but I will ask you to join us when we get to the last chorus and we can finish off the song that way, okay?
Come on to Jesus. Give him your life today. Come on to let him have his way. Oh, I know there are things in your life you think he can't forgive, but he'll forgive and forget, my friend, and show you to live.
Whether you're a mature Christian and you've been a believer all your life, or you're a believer and you're recommitting, you're rededicating yourself to Christ, or you're a new believer, or you're sitting on the fence trying to decide, I just pray that the Lord God in heaven will touch your heart. Guide you, lead you, and direct you. Father, we lift this day, especially this day, up to you. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will touch every person here. That your Holy Spirit will keep us focused on the cross. And keep us focused that we have a hurting world out there. A lot of people who don't know who Jesus is. Give us boldness, Lord. Give us the words to share your gospel. We know that you rejoice when even one sinner repents and comes to a saving knowledge. We pray for you to guide us. Lord, as we go our way this day, this week, until we can gather again next Sunday, I pray you protect us. I pray that you send rain. Most of all, though, I pray that you just give us peace in our spirits. We ask this and ask you to bless each of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.